For sure. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 18.
This question is as follows to me in heaven. The first question, there is a Dutch proverb that says, servants and fools say the truth. Where do you say that?
The proverb has great wisdom in it. The moment one comes to know the truth, he becomes both child on his part, fool in the eyes of others. There are not two things. A man who has seen the light, it starts behaving so innocently that he can only be called a reborn. But because of his innocence, because of his purity like a child, he can be deceived, cheated, exploited. Hence, in the eyes of others, he looks like a fool. The fact is, he is the only one who is not the fool. Everybody else is. But the fools are in majority, and the man of truth is alone. Gautam Buddha became just like a child. Zarathustra became just like a child. When Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote a book about the man of truth, a man of silence and innocence, he named the book The Fool. He will appear to be a fool, to be a child is the greatest risk in this insane world. You are asking me where I fit. If there were two things, I would have chosen. I am both. As far as I am concerned, and those who understand me, they are concerned, I am a child. As far as those who do not understand me and do not want to understand me, am certainly a fool. I fit perfectly with the whole proverb. There is no question of choice.
Again, 10 years ago, you said, Colin said, in our first Orange country, everybody in Hollywood say something about the line the best people.
Holland is my country. I have more loving friends in Holland than anywhere else. Not only loving, but in deep trust. And they have remained with me from the very beginning. They don't know how to betray. A great quality a great honor to remain in love, to remain in trust and to go on seeing the truth and never start taking it for granted. The best people are beautiful. I have come in contact with so many Dutch sannyasis that it feels I have already been to Holland, although I have not gone there yet. But any day I can move into Holland, and this is my trust that governments like Germany may try to prevent me to come into their country. This is not going to be happening in Holland. I will be received with love and welcome. Even the government is not going to create any barriers. I have not yet applied for the tourist visa. I have left only one country, Holland, for the simple reason because that is my last hope.
In Holland, the suicide rate among teenagers is going up. We once said that the youth is our hope for the future. They themselves don't seem to have any hope. Can you please say something to them?
I still say that the youth is the hope of the future. But your past generations have killed the very phenomenon of being young. They have described the youth. They have lost the love and the trust of the youth because they have deceived them so many times that it has become impossible for them to believe the old generation. What the old generations have done to the youth, for centuries they have been doing, now it has come to a climax. They have repressed the youth as far as their love is concerned. They have not allowed them to choose their partners. They have been trying to arrange marriages for them. And every marriage is a failure. I have not come across a marriage which is not a failure. It may look from the outside a success, but you will have to know the inside story. It is ugly, nauseating. And the younger people are seeing this all. What has happened to his father, what has happened to his mother, what is happening in the family, what is happening in the nation. The youth are bound to have the most clear eyes, young eyes, without any dust. They can see the phoniness of the politicians. They can see that their religious leaders don't know even the ABC of religion. And after the Second World War, they are in utter frustration because after the Second, only the Third World War can happen. Once Albert Einstein was asked, "Can you say something about the Third World War?" He said, "No, I cannot say anything about Third World War, but I can say about the Fourth." The questioner was surprised. He said, "This is strange. You cannot say anything about the Third, and you are so confident in saying that you can say something about the Fourth." He said, "Yes, I can say with absolute confidence about the Fourth that it is not going to happen. Because Third will be the last. It will finish all life on the earth. Whose life you are going to finish? The old generations are finished already. They are robots. They have never lived in freedom, in love. They have never known the search for truth. The Third World War, if it happens, is going to be the death of the youth who have not even known few springs of life, who have not known anything about this beautiful earth. It is natural that they will be utterly frustrated with the whole world. And out of that frustration, if they cry, they are slapping on your faces. They are saying, before you commit the suicide of the whole world, at least we want to be individuals. We could not be individual because you, your religion, your politics, your vested interest in life, but at least give us freedom so that we can commit suicide and at least have one moment of individuality. Our own decision. We are not going to die according to the decisions of Ronald Reagan. Their suicides are significant. They are not ordinary suicides which people have committed down the ages. They are question marks on your society, your family, your religion, and the way you are running the world. I have something to say to the youth. Don't be so pessimistic. Committing suicide is very easy. It is not a difficult task. And by committing suicide, you are not going to prevent the global suicide that is coming on. When you are ready to commit suicide, risk your life, then why not risk your life in a rebellion against all old values? Destroy the church. Destroy nations. Destroy any discrimination between colors. Destroy the inequality between man and woman. Destroy poverty from the earth. You have nothing to lose. You were going to commit suicide. Before committing suicide, at least do few necessary things. Perhaps the transformation that you bring about may prevent the world being destroyed, and you may not need to commit suicide. You may love to live. And celebrate the great gift of life that existence is given to you. Don't throw it because others are behaving idiotically. For their fault, don't punish yourself. You have decided to commit suicide, then there is no problem. you can risk everything. I need people who are ready to commit suicide, because these are the only people who can become sannyasins. Sannyas is also a suicide. But not your suicide. It is the declaration that the society is dead. And we don't want to live in a graveyard. That we would like to create our own society, and we would like to create our own life. Don't be in a hurry. Life is so precious. Don't throw it like that. And there is no need. You can see my people who are in the same situation. But rather than decide, they have decided to transform their life in spite of the ugly society in which they are living. They have ignored the society. They have accepted the death of the society and the civilization and the religion. They are dead. Do you think any religion is alive? The religion that blossomed with Gautam Buddha died with Gautam Buddha. The sound that arose with Lao Tzu disappeared with the death of Lao Tzu. This is the natural course of things. The dance of Mira died with Mira. All religions are organized around corpses. Don't be worried about them. They don't have any power. They don't have any life. Politicians have died with the Second World War. Second World War has been a milestone in the history of man. Now, either man chooses a global death, or he chooses to give birth to a new man who will not need any politicians, any priests, who will not need any leader. Who will be sufficient unto himself.
But once, my brother, who is 21 years old, thinks it is ridiculous to work. In Holland, women on social security and unemployment benefits is becoming an uncreated and dependent way of life. Please comment.
It is going to happen in all the developed countries. not only in Holland, because machines are replacing men, and a machine is more efficient, and a machine can do the work of thousands of people. And the machine is very reliable. It never revolts, never goes on a strike, does not make any unions. There is no fear from the machines to the government that it will overthrow the government. All the vested interests in the world are trying to change men with machines, computers, other sophisticated technologies. Naturally, they are going to depend on robots. And they are going to take all dignity of men. They will pay men. In fact, the person who insists for employment will be paid less than the person who is willingly ready to be employed. The unemployed ones will be paid more. But a man who has no work, has lost something very significant, his creativity. Now 24 hours is empty. He lives like a ghost. A posthumous existence. Money he will have, but not the pride of being human. And if people are not working, they are going to become lazier and lazier. They will become drunkards, they will become gamblers, they will have to do something. Nature has created you not to be retired while you are young. Even before you entered into work, you are retired. Many will commit suicide, many will commit murders just for excitement's sake. And finally, if these people have any guts, they are going to destroy the computers, the technologies, the machines which have taken their dignity, their whole souls. It is now a small fragment, but soon more and more people will find position. I would like to know the governments of the world, that machines may be more efficient, but they cannot take place of the man. You can use machines where it is dangerous for man's life to work, for example, deep in the mines, coal mines, gold mines, and other mines. Use the machines to explore the existence. Use the machine to explore the underworld in the waters. Use the machines to go inside the earth to explore. Use them as servants, but don't make them masters. Otherwise, sooner or later, even the people who are destroying the dignity of other human beings, they will also be thrown out. A machine can be a better prime minister, a better president. Machines don't commit mistakes. And if a machine goes wrong, it can be repaired. Just you have to send it to the workshop. Parts can be changed. In America, 20% presidents have been murdered. 20% is not a small percentage. Why 20% presidents have been murdered? And these were the most beautiful presidents. Abraham Lincoln or Kennedy. President Truman is not murdered. Who destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki unnecessarily. Who was the greatest killer in the history of humanity? Ronald Reagan is not going to be murdered. The uglier the person is, the less is the possibility that he will be murdered. The people who were really nice, the people who really wanted to do something good to humanity, to the country, were removed. They were going against the vested interests. Machines will be very polite. If you remove them, they will not resist. You will not need to shoot machines, murder machines. But what is the point? Even if machines are more efficient, for whom they are working? If they are destroying men, these machines cannot be allowed. Every government has to be aware that man's dignity should not be destroyed. machines should be used in places where it is dangerous for men to work, but not in places where men enjoys to work, feels of some use to society. If you give him unemployment wages, he starts feeling useless, a burden. How can he live this nightmare? I can teach this man to use that time for great inner exploration, but I am being prevented from every country. If you want really to use machines in place of men, then man has to be given some new adventures. Just unemployment wages won't help. He has to give him meditations. He has to be prepared for an inner journey to explore himself. Perhaps that can be a great benediction. But these people are afraid of meditation also, because meditation will make people more alert, more aware of their rights, of their birthrights. Meditation will make them more conscious that they are not machines, and machines are defeating them. They will not tolerate these machines. That's the fear. Countries are making laws not to prevent me in. I'm not a terrorist. You can see the insanity of the world. The German government allowed all the terrorists of Europe skinheads, punks, and all kinds of idiots to have a world conference in Germany. These people are making bombs, these people are creating terror everywhere, killing people. These people are allowed. I'm not allowed in Germany. You can see the mind. I am more dangerous to them than all these terrorists, and they are having a world conference. No, they are not afraid of terrorists. They have enough armies for them. they have enough weapons for them. They are afraid of an unarmed man who simply teaches people to love, to be silent, to be blissful. And you can see that blissfulness is more dangerous to these people. Silence is more dangerous to these people. Meditativeness is more dangerous to these people. And the reason is that a man who becomes blissful, silent, meditative, centered, becomes an individual, he starts deciding on his own, is no more under any bondage, is no more a slave, and he will not tolerate any nonsense. Machines are machines. They are man-made. They cannot replace man. A conscious humanity is needed, otherwise you are going to be thrown out of your job, out of your work, out of your friends. Yes, you will be given money. Money to commit suicide. Money to lose your dignity. Money to remain 24 hours in an air-conditioned nightmare. A conscious humanity cannot tolerate this. The fault is of the government. People should not be taken their jobs. I know it as a fact that whenever a person gets retired, he dies early, 10 years early than he would have died. And that is when he is 60, he gets retired. Then too he loses 10 years of his life because he starts feeling futile, meaningless, of no use to anybody. Nobody takes note of him. Nobody needs him. And remember a fundamental law of life, that people are nourished by being needed. If there are nobody who needs you, your nourishment, your very inner nourishment is stopped. You may drag on few days, but you start thinking of dying. That will be a relief. You were a collector. Are a plumber, are an electrician. You had certain dignity. Your work was appreciated. That was your appreciation. Now nobody even says good morning. You pass by and nobody takes any note that a human being is passing by. He is nobody. His profession was his definition. I would like this whole stupid thing to be stopped. Machines should not replace men. People, if you cannot engage them into work, then more work should be found. Life needs so much. There is no scarcity of jobs. If you are ready to pay for unemployment, then why not create beautiful jobs? People making cities beautiful with fountains, with lakes, with trees, with flowers. Create more jobs. And the people are not wrong. If they start living a lazy and inhuman life on unemployment wages, the politicians, the people who are in power, will be responsible of crippling so many people. You will be surprised to know that in India, for thousands of years, the most beautiful clothes were made by the whole part of Bangladesh, which is now Bangladesh. Dhaka was the center of creating such thin material that you can cover the whole elephant with the material, and still you can pass that material through a small ring. British government cut these people's hands. So they cannot create such beautiful material. Because they wanted what they were producing in Lancashire, in England, a third class material to be sold in India. The same on a far bigger scale is happening. You are not cutting only the hands, you are destroying the very soul of man. I am not against the machines. There are many things which machines do. And there are many new things which we should find for men to do. One of the most and the greatest projects should be to make this earth as beautiful as possible. That will employ millions of people. Why waste money for unemployment wages? On the one hand, you are destroying money, on the other hand, you are destroying people. It should be stopped, and stopped immediately. Otherwise, people should be free to destroy your machines, and it will not be an act of violence, because machines don't have any souls. You can destroy machines non-violently. All computers should be destroyed, so people can be replaced back to their dignity and to their job. Do machines exist for us, or we exist for machines? The question is good, because it says so-called ordinary people. In fact, there are only so-called extraordinary people. Ordinary people are real people, not so-called. Extraordinary people are so-called, they are phony, unreal. And there is no problem of introducing meditation into people's lives. I will not call them ordinary because I don't see anybody who is extraordinary. The whole distinction is created by egoists. Everybody is unique individuals. Either everybody is ordinary or everybody is extraordinary, but there is no distinction between the two. I will use just the word people. Gautam Buddha was just like you before he became enlightened. I was just like you before I entered into my innermost core. There is no speciality in it. Only one thing is missing: you have never endeavored. You have never tried. You have been looking only outside. Your education teaches you to look outside. Your church teaches you to look outside towards the God. Towards the Holy Bible, Holy Quran, Holy Gita. Your politicians go on teaching you to look outward for a promising future. Nobody tells you that you have an inner world too. It is only a question of reminding you . Have you seen sometimes a man looking for his glasses and the glasses are sitting on his nose? Somebody has to remind what you are looking, and he says, I am looking for my glasses. And somebody has to say to him that you cannot even look for glasses without glasses. They are sitting on your nose. And the man feels and says, my God, I completely forgot. You have simply forgotten yourself. Who is looking outside? Without the inside, there cannot be any outside. Meditation is nothing but a remembrance of your inner being. The English word sin is very significant. Destroyed by the Christians completely. Its root meaning is forgetfulness. It has nothing to do with what your priests go on calling sin. It is simply forgetfulness. You have forgotten yourself. You can sit silently and start remembering. Close your eyes, watch your thoughts, watch your emotions, and just watching them, you will come to realize a new factor, the watcher. And that realization is the beginning of an inner revolution. That you are the watcher, not the watched. You are not the mind, not the body, but something hidden deep inside you, the watcher. The watcher goes on watching every ups and downs in life. Now there is no need to get identified. When you are down, you need not be sad, because the watcher is only a watcher. When you are up, you need not become ego. You are just a watcher. Slowly, slowly, all turmoil around you starts settling. Your identification with things which you are not is the problem. Your disidentification is meditation. Disidentify with everything until only the pure watcher remains, and remains settled into the watcher, whatever you are doing, wherever you are going. And you will be a new man with a freshness, with a life which you have never known before, with something eternal in your eyes. Something of the immortal existence in your every gesture. You will find tremendous strength, power to be yourself against the whole world. You must also be a loving person. You must have clean eyes, unprejudiced mind. That's why you can see my people and their love and their peace. Everybody who comes here sees things which he is capable of, which he deserves. Where you can see love and its purity and cleanness, are people who see here sexual orgies happen. I have never seen. I would love to see. But that never happens. I have been listening to the reports about sexual orgies. And I have been asking Anandu, what is sexual orgies? She says she will try to find it out. Everybody comes with his prejudices. Colored glasses on their eyes. Then they see everything according to their glass. Yes, people come just like you, unprejudiced, without any idea gathered from yellow journalism. You come just to see on your own with your own eyes. Without carrying any conclusion beforehand, that's why you can see the reality. A prejudiced mind is almost mad. It has not the clarity, not the sensitivity. I am reminded of a madman who thought that he is dead. It was very difficult for his family . He will not go to sleep. He will be moving around and will not allow anybody else to sleep. And they will say, please go to sleep. He will say, but have you ever heard any dead man going to sleep? On each and every point it was a trouble, and they tried to convince him that you are not dead, but he was so convinced. Finally they took him to a psychoanalyst and asked that, help us, this poor guy thinks that he is dead. And the madman laughed and said, can a dead man be psychoanalyzed? Why are you wasting your money? The psychoanalyst also felt a little embarrassed that how he is going to deal with it. It is such a new problem. Sigmund Freud does not mention neither Jung nor Adler. This is absolutely a new problem. But he said, I will try. He tried to convince him. Finally, seeing that it is no way, he is absolutely certain, he took a needle and the man in front of the mirror and said, now I will do an experiment which will prove everything. I want you to ask one thing. Have you heard ever that dead men don't bleed? He said, that's true. When I used to be alive, I have heard that dead men don't bleed. So he said, now give your hand to me. And look, and he pushed the needle into his hand and blood came out, and the madman started laughing. The psychoanalyst says, what is the laugh? He says, I am laughing that for millions of years fools have believed that dead men don't believe. They believe. It is proof. You have proved something of great importance. I appreciate your genius. at that point, the psychoanalyst called the family of the man and said that take him away, because he is starting influencing me. Last night I started thinking whether I'm alive or dead. Who knows? Perhaps that man is right and I am wrong. Because he is so certain, I am not so certain. No argument can prove anything against him. I cannot extend so much argumentation if somebody comes to prove that you are not alive. You just take him away because I have my wife, I have my children, and if this thing becomes my own idea that I am also dead, they all will starve. When somebody comes with a conclusion, then he looks through that conclusion and chooses only things which support his conclusion. And logic is a prostitute. It can help anybody, far or against. It has no problem. I know my people, I know their love, I know their purity, I know their silence. And when two sannyasins have met after years and they are hugging each other, journalists rush to photograph them. Now, you cannot photograph purity, you cannot photograph love, and they will print those photographs proving that look what is happening. You are fortunate that you have come with a clean and clear mind. I hope that those who come here come with clear eyes, fairness. I don't want them to say something which they don't feel. I simply want them first to feel and then to decide. Not to decide before experiencing it. I would love it too. But the debate has to be really direct. And you have to choose people who are capable of debating. your prime minister there. Because they are the people I am speaking against continuously. And it will be good to have an encounter face to face. But don't bring pygmies to me. Because I am a simple man. I call a spade simply a fucking spade. Okay.